The Nutramedical Report, and some of my favorite guests and the favorite hour of the week after, of course, the first hour, which is the firing line, is Hour 3 on Fridays with John Moore, who has his own radio show, thelibertyman.com, his co-host, Ann Morrison, scientist. And John, sometimes you can only stay a segment, but it's a powerful segment. What's the latest news? You've got some great contacts. Your background, of course, being Special Forces. You're a forensic legal investigator for crime. So you've got an accurate and what I call a great conspiracy scientist mind, is the words of Tex Mars. And Ann Morrison is sharp in a whole range of scientific areas. You've been an expert also, John, on the area of space weather, geopolitical, and Earth changes. And so it's very popular. People need to prepare for what's happening. We've got lots of Earth changes literally in the wake of what's happening with Dane Wigington. We talk about UV light. We talk about sea levels. What's on the radar today?
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, Doctor, as always. What's on the agenda today is the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy. The acronym is SOFIA. This belongs to NASA. It's a 100-inch diameter telescope that views in the infrared light spectrum, right, mounted in the back of a 747 aircraft. It arrived in Christchurch, New Zealand a few days ago. It will be there running missions up until next Thursday, August the 1st. What's significant about this? Well, there are several things. First of all, the public record is significant because it is in the southern hemisphere. And our concern, of course, is the 10th planet is visible only in the infrared light spectrum for 11 right, out of 12 months a year. Now, here's the backstory. My private source, a woman I've been working with for about 6 years, she's connected to a Washington insider family. I won't go into any more detail to protect her identity, but about 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, she got a call telling her that when she saw SOFIA going to the southern hemisphere, that was her heads up that the 10th planet was getting closer to us.
Right.
So I think that's very significant in light of the mainstream press release that is anybody can find. If you put SOFIA and NASA and New Zealand in your search engine, you'll get the NASA press release describing
right,
what
now,
I'm talking about.
So there's not, by the way, that's not the only imaging technology. That's not the only imaging technology you're an expert on. So what other imaging have they had in place for 4 to 5 decades down there? And you can jump in too, but what other imaging is down there watching in the X-ray telescope range, infrared? There's a thing called a Pi meson scope. It's under the ice sheet there in Antarctica at the Ross Ice Shelf. There's a lot of stuff at McMurdo Bay. People don't realize it's a consortium of international nations watching the southern hemisphere.
Right.
They've been doing this since the Pioneer 10, where they're looking at the perturbations discovered first by Tycho Brahe, the, I believe, Danish astronomer that discovered the perturbations of Neptune. They were explained by Newton and later further quantified by Einstein and other scientists. We know that there is a large, highly gravitational object, but there's also and I'm going to give more specifics. The object that's coming in is in the southern ecliptic. It returns every 3,600 and roughly 15 years. I call it the Passover star. It's the star that the ancients knew as Heraclitus. There's a whole bunch of other names, the devil star,
right,
the Satan star.
Right.
This star doesn't come on the ecliptic plane of the planets. It brings in a storm of comets and asteroids. When it passes through the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, it's going to cause asteroid storms and other problems. But its power is it has 200 times more the magnetic field than the sun. And it's a tiny fraction of its size, but it's magnetic field. So it operates at a distance. And if you look at Professor McCanny's work, he's not making any public statements on it, although he did in the past about Planet 10, which is really a red dwarf. People need to know it's not a brown dwarf. It's not a physical planet. It is only visible in the infrared or X-ray spectra. So you can't see this. It's very dark. So if you're looking at it, it's quite small compared to other objects, but it is very, very powerful in terms of its magnetic flux fields. As I mentioned on Lorenz last night, I talked about some astrophysics, some quantum astrophysics. in our world, there's five dimensions. The Higgs boson actually is a quantum tunneled micro wormhole. There is a unit of time space called a chronon, and that's the fourth dimension. The time space, the reason why they can't quantify except using external accelerators to the speed of light, the Higgs boson, is because it's actually a microscopic wormhole. So there's a granularity to time space and reality. And in fact, what they've delineated at the Hadron Collider is the pixelation, the pixels, just like our world is a hologram, the pixels of reality. Our lower world is in five dimensions, is the world of entropy or decay or loss of order. And the higher dimensions from the sixth onto the 12th are the orders of hyperspace or order, which is why they're called the spirit world, the world where our part of our we exist in both hyperspace, which is why man's number is six. The prince of the power of the air is the power of Lucifer. He is still in the second heaven, which is in the spirit world. He hasn't yet descended physically, but is coming down here through his minions, through the Nephilim, through transdimensional avataring our royals, which is why, although people kind of say, you know, hey, it's wonderful that they had this little baby, they have to understand all of these people through the royals, right through the ancient cultures and Atlantis and thereafter, were bred specifically to be avatared by transdimensionals. It says in the book of Daniel that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. What they're really saying is they literally bred bodies to be inhabited by the spirits after sex magic rituals and human sacrifice to be bred and to be avatared by transdimensional demonic entities. So the Nephilim are among us, and they're our royals, they're our global elite, they're the people who go to Bohemian Grove, they're the corporate heads of corporations, they're the people that tell the president and his men what to do, and they are avatar and they channel demonic knowledge and satanic powers, and they try to literally control our civilization. We are ruled over by powers and principalities, as it says in Ephesians. And if people think this is a delusion, every single religious group, and right in our Bible, right from one beginning to the other, tells you that this is straight up. We're not just dealing with people that are greedy. We're not just dealing with people that are sociopathic. We're dealing with people that are possessed. So let's hear from Ann Morrison. Ann, Dane Wigington's been on Rents a bunch of times lately, and he's talked about UV light. I tried to explain the balance of the sources of ultraviolet light. The first is this approaching Planet X, which is a red dwarf, is causing increase in heating inside the planets, which are causing problems with planetary climate and volcanism on all the planets that have a melted core, because all of the planets that are, except for a lot of the, you know, the moons, are in fact nuclear reactors. Our planet Earth is a nuclear reactor with a nuclear core that's generating abiotic oil. It's not generated by dinosaurs and ferns. It's generated abiotically, which is why we have so damn much of this oil. There's literally oceans of it. And then on top of that, we have the sun is spewing out the last 30 to 40 years. I spent an entire evening with Dr. Isley after I shared with him that I was one of the doctors taking care of pilots flying geoengineering flights out of Buckley and Peterson Air Force Base, and he gave me the Federation of Earth documents, and there are geoengineering documents that they submitted from the World Constitution Parliament Association, which was founded at the United Nations in 1958, and he explained in great detail. He was in his, I think, 70s or 80s at the time when he told me this. He was so excited that I understood the physics and the chemistry of it, but these guys are crazy. Number one, they are degrading the upper atmosphere, but it's a minor part. The biggest problem is the sun is actually giving off more dangerous radiation. That's number one. It also varies from hour to hour. It's not just steady. Most people, when we talked about this with Professor McCanny, a lot of people made big assumptions that the output of light is steady from day to day, week to week. It's not. It can even vary from hour to hour. And after a CME, you can have strobing with a very dramatic change in the spectrum of light coming off the sun, including X-rays, high energy ultraviolet B, C, and D, which is death, can go on for hours, 6 to 8 hours after a CME explosion on the sun. So a lot of the assumptions people make, you know, as Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does. As soon as you make an assumption, you have already stuck your foot in the bear trap, intellectually. And so I'd like you to respond on that. We have three reasons. We've got Fukushima now chewing up the upper atmosphere with xenon, krypton, and radioiodine-131. We've got geoengineering with nanoparticles of thorium, barium, and aluminum, which basically are paramagnetic, used to create a torsion field to image the Earth, create radiomagnetic mirrors to image through the Earth, and also to create interferometry fields for biological weaponization of space. So they create a plasma field 100 million degrees, like an explosion, like a nuclear weapon without a missile. And it's used to primarily, quote, deflect a great CME. In fact, that's the reason why Dr. Isley told me this. So their stupid idea to deflect a CME, which was originally conceived by early physicists of the Manhattan Project, was to put it out at 20,000 miles. And instead of doing that, they decided it's easier to stick it up at 73,000 to 80,000 feet, which is stupid. But that's what they did. And, of course, they don't realize the chemistry is real simple, and they try to blame it on chlorofluorocarbons, and bricks don't float in a pool, which means the chlorofluorocarbon molecules never got to the upper atmosphere. Methane hydrates do, and carbon dioxide does. And the worst of these is a surge of methane hydrates that's caused by oceanic heating, ultraviolet light from space, and things like the Gackel Range, which is 1,600 kilometers long in the Arctic Ocean, is a mile down, as high as the Swiss Alps, and there's giant amounts of methane being bubbled up from the ocean floor everywhere, not just in Gulf of Mexico, off of Pentland Marine Corps Base. We have it right here, 5 miles away. We have it Indian Ocean, up near Aceh, where they had a giant tsunami back in 2004. People don't get the thing that the Earth is going through convulsions because this object, Planet X, is coming near and starting to change the nuclear reactions and criticality of our planet and the surface reactions of the sun. And these superstorms are filaments of plasma. Of course, the average person in university doesn't understand advanced plasma physics. They don't understand quantum mechanics, and they don't even ask good questions. And when you do ask questions, they kind of look at you like you're either an idiot or you're crazy. And the fact is, if you ask good questions and you have contacts that I have, they're classified, then they start to take notes and realize, like, oh my God. And I got inside government contacts to say, what questions were asked on Deagle's show, who did he have on, and how the hell did they know it? And that includes you, John, and Ann. You ask good questions. We try to raise, even if we don't have all the data, because the government tries to hide this data. They don't want us to know that, by the way, we moved Sophia down to Antarctica because we think this thing's coming in, and we know that we're in the midst of a famine. We're going to have super volcanism and earthquakes all over the planet, and the ozone layer is going poof, and we're getting poisoned with ultraviolet light that's going to shut down the oxygen-carbon cycle, and basically our oxygen concentration, which makes the ozone layer, is going to go, see you later, guys. And all the plants, including phytoplankton, are already dying from pollution from Fukushima. But now we're poisoning the carbon-oxygen cycle with cesium-134, radioiodine. And now we've got UV shock from space. And people don't think we have a problem.
Well, the ultraviolet shock is a big worry, and that's because it's creating skin cancers in younger and younger people. That's one way you can tell that there's more UV now, because it used to be that it would take melanoma maybe 70 years to develop on a person.
Exactly. In fact, the way you can tell is go in the middle of the day when there's 11 or 12 level scale on the UV sites, and you gave us a bunch of links. I want you to send me those links again, because I'm going to post all the links up so people say, Deagle, you talk too fast, you interrupt your guests, and you're full of it. I want them to listen and look at the government sites themselves and stop jabbering and stop trying to waste all of their effort trying to attack the messenger. When they look at this, they'll go outside at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and they'll feel like a kid that took a large elastic, went flick, and say, oh my gosh, that stings. How come my eyes are burning? It's because you're being cooked.
That's right. The UV band C especially will create melanoma of the eyes.
But the orchidrigian, which is that thing that crosses to the center of the eye. By the way, we do have detectors. They're now available right now, A and B light detectors from Less EMF, and we have a UVC detector that Emil de Toffel can get you as well. So you can get an A plus B detector right now, and you can get a C detector, and these are available. So if you contact Less EMF through our website, NutriMedical, go down to Less EMF, contact Emil de Toffel. You can get one now, because the biggest warning, believe it or not, is not only to have a radiation detector, we have also one that's half the price of the Inspector Plus that's very accurate for radiation detector, because we're expecting major hydrovolcanic explosions from Fukushima. But the biggest immediate danger that's going to be real sneaky is going to be an ultraviolet light surge, either from a CME or just the sun going crazy or the ozone layer saying, hey, I'm out of here. And someday people are going to go outside and say, like it says in the Bible, and there shall be 5 months Well, death will flee for them, and everyone that lives will have a grievous sword that took the mark. Well, they're not going to believe what I'm telling you, which is prophetically, that there'll be a time where people will only be able to go out and do business in the evening or at night. And if they go during the day for that 5 months, it says in the Bible, then death will flee from them because they'll get grievous sores from being out in the ultraviolet light. It'll burn their eyes, it'll burn their skin, and they'll get sick, and it suppresses your T cells and your immune system. People say, no, Dr. Deagle, that's not going to happen. Well, you better take notice, it's happening. It's not something we're predicting, it's something we're describing.
Well, that's right. We now know that melanoma is increasing in young adults, people that are in their 30s, maybe up to 35, and even in teenagers. Now, melanoma normally wasn't caught until somebody was in their 70s or 80s. So
yeah.
I don't know how much more ultraviolet we're getting, but we're getting enough so that it takes a shorter amount of time
yeah.
for the melanoma to...
After 22 years...
You know, you're a prep expert, and of course your website is thelibertyman.com, and your site is homeland-defenseforyou.com. John, every day you do your show and you're tracking a lot of issues. I know we talked about this before, that Professor McCain is going to be very cautious before he releases information about the 10th planet, although he's, over the last decade on the jmccsci.com, he's been on the Discovery Channel and the Learning Channel, etc. When we talk about the comets, this is the year of the comet, and he mentioned that this comet's not 5 kilometers across. I pulled up the actual papers that are published in Open Science this week, and there's millions of tons of dust literally every day being released from this comet. This is a big sucker comet. It's estimated by Professor McCanny, and he's being conservative because he doesn't want his things off the wall.
Right.
This is probably the largest comet to pass the inner solar system, and it's a sun grazer in over 3,000 years. It's a big fella, and it's going to pass by in September, October, November. It's going to take a month to completely pass through the tail of it by Mars. And in November, it's going to actually sun graze at 700,000 kilometers over the sun, which means it's going to make a great big storm. If it just happens to be that that storm is aimed at us, we're in deep doo-doo. You know, astrophysically, if we have a CME that even glances at us, we're going to have a bad day.
Absolutely. Well, Professor McCanny is awfully often quoted and misquoted. A lot of people want to grab his coattails and ride his...
We're not going to do that. But I have my own independent sources for years about the idea of what he called it. I don't call it Planet X. I call it the Passover star or the red dwarf, because it's not a planet. It's basically a failed star that didn't fully ignite like our yellow dwarf Sol. It is a very powerful magnetic field generator, and it operates at a distance both gravitationally and through its dipole effect, because when you bring a magnetic dipole near a nuclear reaction, you speed up the criticality of the reaction. So that's what's going on. And most of the planets are nuclear reactors, and the sun, of course, its reactions occur, as Professor McCanny says, not deep in the core of the sun, but on the surface. The nuclear reactions on the sun occur in the plasma jets around the planet, because the actual surface of the planet is around 5,000 to 6,000 degrees. Believe it or not, it's not millions. The surface of the sun is around 6,000, maybe up to 10,000 degrees, which will melt most of our metals, but it's not millions. The temperature is the heliosphere above the planet surface of the sun, because it's a large, even since planet or object. And when they have a plasma filament, those filaments can be millions of miles long. Above, they're 100,000 miles above the surface of the planet where the real heat is 100 million degrees. And when these things explode, they are like 100 million degrees with millions and millions of tons of plasma. And there's a number of waves. And then you can give us a list of them. You get light, visible light and infrared light. Then you get an electron storm that comes, the CME. And then finally you get... you get protons, which take a little longer to arrive, which can be a couple of days, and then finally the plasma, which is arrives in the planet 2 to 4 days after the initial light. So you often get actually a warning sign that, hey, when the plasma and the protons arrive, you're going to have a really rough time because it perturbs the magnetosphere, can trigger off all earthquakes and volcanoes, and cause really bad weather to happen. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, the Professor McCanny talks about action at a distance, where these bodies will act on us with their gravitational effect and electrical energy of both. And there are accounts within recorded history of lightning bolts, or what might be called lightning bolts, between planets. And observations of the atmosphere and water of Mars being sucked off the planet. There's written accounts of that in our own history.
So these that's why they referred to the god Jupiter as a thrower of lightning bolts, because they could see lightning bolts literally jumping off of Jupiter into inner solar space. So, you know, the reason why these ancients, they weren't stupid. People say, well, they must be stupid to think there's a god that throws lightning bolts. It's because they could see the plasma discharge across interstellar space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these things could happen again, and the possibility of them happening in our lifetimes is pretty great.
Right. Well, we have conditions now that are basically identical. And, you know, Moses, who's out in the desert of Midian, he was trained up. You know, most people don't know what the name Moses means. And I like to use a little humor here. If you see somebody from Norway and their name is Johnson, it would be like calling somebody son, you know?
Right.
The fact is the name Moses means he was drawn out of Ramesses. So his actually real name is Ramesses Moses. It's like, in other words, he would have been the next pharaoh. And he was not biologically
the son. Moses was a title, name.
Right. His title was, this guy is so smart, so remarkable, so well-trained by the high priest, so exceptional, even though he's a Hebrew, he's the adopted son who's going to be the next pharaoh. So the Ramesses the II was a inbred idiot that replaced Moses when he had to head off to the desert of, Moses, of Midian after he killed the Egyptian who was persecuting Hebrew slaves when he realized he was Hebrew. So what people need to understand is that Moses was not an average guy.
No,
he was very. He was a doctor, believe it or not. He was a surgeon. He was a general. He was a an astronomer. He was a linguist. He could literally do virtually anything, from growing food to metallurgy to literally controlling an army and a battlefield. And back in those times, the generals also were surgeons because they had to treat their own people who were hurt in the battlefield, dress their wounds, sew them up, and prevent infections. Most people don't know that. They don't know how remarkable Moses was. When he wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, directly transcribed by God, which they talk about with the Bible code, he's probably one of the most amazing minds of the ancient world.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Right. So when people say Moses, that meant he was going to be Pharaoh. Okay? So the devil had his plan to say, this guy here, we don't want him to serve God. We're going to make him Pharaoh and suck him off to make sure that he does not serve the Most High God. Because if he writes this Pentateuch, which starts the Bible, things are going to go south for Lucifer and his buddies.
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah, well, they are going south. And I mentioned also last night, I tell people, I said, this is something I want to breach because there's a lot of Christians out there who need a kind of what I call a setting things right. And this is, by the way, something that's not my opinion. It's one of those things that once in a while I'll say, this is a thus saith the Lord. The rapture, and this is what Jesus' words are, not mine, is there the vulture is, and you can take the Aramaic and the Hebrew, where the vulture is, there is the body. And he says, I will take the tares and pull them out and burn them in the fires. So the rapture that people keep on talking about to get out of here when things are like get out of hell card, you know, the world, end of the world is a hell of a mess card. Forget it. God is going to keep us from that hour of tribulation because he's going to take the evil out of the world. He's going to stop this mess. He's going to intervene when things look darkest. Our God is God. Just like in ancient Israel when he preserved the Hebrews, he's going to take the evil out. They're not going to get an advance warning like the day I think that the earth stood still, that movie back in the 50s or 60s.
Right.
There's no advance warning. God's just going to do it. And one is in two in the field and one is taken. The one taken isn't the good guy heading off to heaven. The one taken is the evil one taken off for judgment.
Well, we're living in interesting times, no doubt.
Now, we also have, by the way, North Pole. Melting ice forms lake in the North Pole. People need to realize we are thoroughly, and this, by the way, is right in photos. This is from, let's see which article it is, CBS News. And it shows it. Shows it two contrasting pictures of the North Pole from April and July of this year. Wow. You look at it, April, you see the giant ice sheet, and it's open ocean. Do you know that the North Pole now is the only time in recorded history it's open ocean? Probably since God knows when. millions of years ago, open ocean across the Arctic. Open ocean.
Well, we knew that was coming, and it's just more of what we've been expecting.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you're the expert on this. You've told me years ago, John, you traveled with the Prophecy Club, that you saw documents showing that they're expecting a 70-foot-plus rise in sea level, and that's cataclysmic for a number of areas along the eastern coast of the United States. Most of the district criminals in Washington, D.C. and Virginia, and many of these state areas, would be underwater, significantly underwater,
right,
if it rose 70 feet, wouldn't it?
It would. It would wipe out where a huge percent of our population live, work, and play.
Yeah, exactly. And what are you finding on your radar in terms of other news items?
Well, I want you to know that the chief of police of St. Louis City, has requested the use of drones in his police activities in West St. Louis.